All right, it's 12:45 at WJBC, 81 degrees, and we bring in our friend Don Meyer. He's a broker and auctioneer for Lee Realty in Bloomington, but I call him our resident ag historian. Actually, he's just an historian for McLean County history, but we like to have him talk about ag history in McLean County. Don, it's good to get you here in the studio.
Great to be here.
Did you have to, were you a little bit inconvenienced by the Hamilton road construction?
Actually, I came around on Veterans.
Oh, good
instead,
for you.
But even that's under construction as well. So
you can't
have to be
avoid
careful.
It. Yeah. The only way to get here without construction, I think, is coming up the highway.
That's we like smooth roads, but we pay a price, right?
Yep. Yeah. The summertime is always like that. Well, one of the things that, you know, the reason I was talking to Greg about the McLean County Fair, it opens next week, of course.
Yes.
I think it's
yes.
the 2nd through the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but one of, you know, one of the highlights of the fair, if you're a fair goer, especially if you're involved in agriculture, is 4-H. It's very prominent at the fair, not to say it's not during other times of the year. And you've come here today to talk a little bit about the history of 4-H here in McLean County. Not something that you think about, but, you know, it had an origination point.
That's exactly right. And like many things, its origination began around agriculture. And, of course, today most of our 4-H'ers probably don't live on a farm. We have a lot of urban projects, a lot of leadership development activities. But certainly we don't want to hide behind the fact that, it all began as an agricultural organization. And just a few weeks ago, one of our 4-H clubs celebrated its 100th anniversary. That would be the Silverleaf 4-H Club. As the leader, Gordon Ropp, refers to it as the oldest 4-H club in the world, and honestly, I'm not sure I can argue much with him. It is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, in the state of Illinois, and it all began back, you know, 100 years ago, 1917. Thinking about World War I was at its peak, and the real initiative for the youth movement was more food for the troops. And so it kind of hinged around, it ties into world history as well and U.S. history. William Brigham was the assistant county superintendent of schools. And as you turn back the clock, you know, most of the rural students went to those country schoolhouses. They were about 2 miles apart. Every 2 miles there would be a different country school. And in fact, Brigham has a book that the History Museum has put online, which is just a cherished thing. I turn back to it time and again for information of the history of county schools. And in that book, he talks about the origin of what was then called the Boys and Girls Clubs. And his challenge was to get each of those country schools to form a Boys and Girls Club. That effort began in 1917, 1918. It wasn't until about 1922 or 1923 that the concept of having a county fair came along. And the first county fair was actually the 4-H'ers were invited to the swine show that had been held for years at the Ed Coolidge Farm. Now, if you think about what many of us call the Mitsubishi area, or now the Rivian Auto Works, that's about where the Ed Coolidge Farm was located. So it's ironic that after 100 years, the county fair is almost back home to where it began, just in the north or just west of Normal in that area. The Silverleaf 4-H Club then, when Farm Bureau and Home Bureaus began, about that same time period, the ownership of Boys and Girls Clubs was transferred over to Farm Bureau and Home Bureau. And so the Silverleaf 4-H Club was conceived, and it was made up of three of those Boys and Girls Clubs, the Pickett School, the Garfield School, and the Belvedere Schools. All of those were country schools around the Uton area. And the name Silverleaf, interestingly enough, you know, when you think about how do we find our way around, we didn't have GPS, we didn't have a lot of road signs, in fact, didn't have cars in much of that era until the 1920s when cars became affordable. And the landmark in that Uton area was a Silverleaf poplar tree. And so this club was organized and has its roots and its name based on that tree, which was located about where the corner of College Avenue now would be with Route 150. So it's kind of interesting when you put all this perspective and turn back the clock. It's fascinating to see it all pulled together.
But it all makes sense now as you explain these little elements, how it all looks now.
Yep.
Now, this is a question that's going to reveal a little bit of how little I know.
Mm-hmm.
But where does the term 4-H come from?
I don't know who coined the phrase initially, but it's head, heart, hands, and health. And when you think about it, there's a 4-H pledge now that encompasses all of those, and children serving their community, their country, their world. It all ties together. When you think about what's right in your head, what's right in your health, what's right in your heart, it all ties together. And it really has a nice message. Again, whoever conceived that, I don't know that I know the history of the 4-H emblem per se, but when that gravitation occurred, it was really interesting to see that is stuck. Initially, I think there was a 3-H and eventually became the 4-H. But it's been around for, as we said, nearly 100 years.
So if Gordon Ropp's information is correct, then 4-H was created here in McLean County.
There were several movements around. I think Macoupin County had a Boys and Girls Club movement as well. And so it certainly was one of the first. I don't know. I always be a little cautious. We claim our county fair is the largest county 4-H fair in the world. And we've claimed that for decades when I used to work with Extension. And no one's really ever refuted it. All the efforts in this county are kind of unique because our 4-H program is the highlight. You know, there are county fairs, there are state fairs, but the pinnacle of activity, it's all hinged around the youth of McLean County. And I think that's rather unique, and I think that's one of the things that's made our county special, is because we try to feature the kids versus all of the other things. And we all enjoy the entertainment. We enjoy the food. I'm just as guilty of that as anyone else. But this is really centered around 5 days of youth activities, and there aren't a lot of other distractions in McLean County.
It sounds like, though, that we can come to some sort of compromise between McLean County and Macoupin County and maybe another location, that 4-H originated in Illinois.
We were one of the first.
And became a nationwide and, in some cases, worldwide.
It's fascinating to see when you think about it, and the fact that McLean County has been such a big part of that. You know, that early club, that Silverleaf Club, as I did some history work for the 4-H Club, had a celebration a couple weeks ago. They actually were featured on Chicago radio stations from right here in Bloomington. And when you think about how'd they get to Chicago in 1920s, but they actually conducted a 4-H Club meeting on the air, so that people in Chicago and all around the area could hear that. Of course, the farm radio station at that time was housed in Chicago, and so they wanted to show this movement that was very successful in the area. The Ropp family, of course, was a big part of that. The Basting family, some of the names, and to this day there are generations down from those family members that are still showing here in this county.
You mentioned earlier that fewer of the members of 4-H, the youth, the young people, the kids, are from farms.
That's right.
And whenever Alcha Corbin comes in, she talks about that, and that's why they have more and more programs that are not necessarily ag-related.
That's right.
In 4-H now.
Well, it's fascinating. You know, my own son, he was not raised on a farm. My son and daughter who were in 4-H, and you know, I think it was one of those things you learn things from the eyes of kids. And I think he was probably 8 or 9 at the time, and we were working side by side on a model car. And it's like, what does that have to do with agriculture? Really, nothing. But you know, he said, you know, Dad, we wouldn't spend this kind of time working and talking to each other if it wasn't for this project. And I think the whole center of family, I think that's why people say, wow, the 4-H'ers are really successful. I think we generally attract a lot of that success. It's a very much of a family experience. I was a scout, and so there's nothing against scouting, but we tend to segment the boys from the girls. This is a family unit, and our 4-H leaders are volunteers around the county, around the country, and it's centered around family.
And with so much of ag now being, moving towards technology more and more, in terms of, you know, whether you're planting and you're GPSing your combine or whatever the case might be, trying to figure out the best, most efficient way to spray or seed, the technology has grown so much, and 4-H teaches a lot of that. So it's really a chance. You find now sectors that are involved in ag more than they used to be, or in some cases for the first time, and so a lot of these kids who have interests outside of ag have talents that will ultimately contribute to agriculture.
That's right. You know, the robotics movement was one of the first things done with 4-H'ers here, and now I've been hearing about the national, international, really, robotics activities. One of our local groups called the Metal Cow been very successful with their robotics, competing at statewide and national competitions. The leadership development is phenomenal. I can't tell you over my many years of attending meetings, literally been to thousands of meetings, how many times you go to an organizational meeting and someone will speak up and say, was anybody in 4-H? Was anybody in FFA? We need to know how to run this meeting, and you guys know how to run a meeting. And it's fascinating when you think about the basic skills that we learn at age 8 and 4-H that are life skills that you may not learn somewhere else.
Don, good to have you in the studio.
Always good to be here, Mark.
And if anyone wants to get in touch with you at Lee Realty, how can they do that?
Just give us a call at the look up Lee Realty Group. We're on the web, and we're also have an office location there on GE Road, and we'd be glad to visit with you about farm real estate or farm auctions.
All right. Our resident historian, Don Meyer.